When I was a kid, more than anything else, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. I played ball with anybody that'd play with me. I could walk to the Little League field down, on 52 from my house. I remember going down there when there were still snow spots on the field and playing. If I couldn't find anybody to play with, I'd bounce a tennis ball or a baseball off the wall and try to get different angles, for hours. I even went out one year, took a hoe and shovel and dug up a sliding pit in the edge of the yard. Now, evidently, Daddy didn't care. Now, how Mama felt whenever I came in with all those jeans with all that dirt on them, I don't know. But, I was serious. At that time, the Stanley County Library had a number of books on how to play ball. I remember one on how to play first base and how to play the outfield and how to pitch. I checked them all out and read them all. I was going to be good. Well, I played Little League ball and I played high school baseball, but that's as far as it went. My arm was too weak, and even though I was fast, I ran too long in the same spot. But it was important to me. Now, those of you that are golfers, you you go to a waiting room, doctor, dentist, whatever, and you see all the golf magazines, how to cure your slice, how to cure your hook, how to get out of the sand traps, how to putt straighter, and all this kind of stuff. Or fishing and hunting magazines, how to catch the big one, how to get the trophy. I remember as a young person, Daddy used to take a magazine, Progressive Farmer, with all the latest farming techniques. Is that still published or not?
It is.
It is? Okay. But it's not just a man's thing. Every month or so, quilting magazines come to my house. And my wife will say, look at this beautiful quilt. Look at this beautiful quilt, All I'm caring is how warm is it going to make me? And cooking. Cooking shows, cooking books, cookbooks, recipe books. Now, what's the point? The point is this. If something is very vitally important to you, you're going to study it. You're going to invest time and energy in whatever it is that's important to you, whether it's quilting or hunting or fishing or baseball or whatever. If it's important, really vitally important to you, you're going to invest time in it. Now, the question I ask this morning is this. How important is your walk with God? How important is your walk with God? Deep down inside, as you think about your walk with God, how important is it? A related question is this. What do you believe about Christianity? And why do you believe it? What do you believe about Christianity and why do you believe it? Well, that's what my preacher told me. That's what my mama told me. That's what my daddy told me. That's what my Sunday school teacher told me. That's what I read in some book. But if you check to see if that preacher, that teacher, that parent, that book was correct, why do you believe what you believe? Have you checked? And how important is your walk with God? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll start reading at verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Begin reading at verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more and more ungodliness. Paul says, study. 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 Not read. Not scan. Not skip over. Not play at. But really study. Study the Word of God. Now, why is that important? Did you catch the last phrase of that verse 15? Rightly dividing the word of truth? Well, folks, if you can rightly divide the word of truth, you can wrongly divide the word of truth. You can wrongly divide the word of truth. You can wrongly divide the Bible. That's where you get cults. That's where you get false beliefs. That's where you get people that think they're going to heaven, but aren't going to heaven. They're going to hell. Wrongly dividing the word of truth, even though you may be saved, can also cause you to get to heaven on a lot bumpier road than you had to travel. You get to heaven, but you could have gotten there in a lot easier if you knew what the word of God said. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, some things are more important than others. I'll give you two totally non-biblical scenarios. Some of you know I make a pretty decent pecan pie. Well, one year at Thanksgiving, I made some pecan pies, put them in the oven. When the time was up, I pulled them out, and they were just sloshy. I thought, something's not right. Maybe something with the oven. So I cooked them another hour, still sloshy. What in the world's wrong with these pecan pies? I mean, I've made hundreds of them. And what's wrong with these? And then it hit me. The recipe calls for one box of light brown sugar. The grocery store was out of boxes. So I bought a bag. And the bag had twice as much sugar in it as the box. And so I had double the sugar and not double the other stuff. When I pulled the bag out of the trash can and looked at it and, you know, maybe the box has two cups and the bag had four or whatever. I thought, well, no wonder. And the pies went in the trash can. They never did get fit to eat. Well, see, that's a wrongly divided thing, but it was no big deal. You know, one of the things that plots that they use many times in an action movie is that the hero runs in at the last minute and there sits somebody with a bomb strapped to their chest and it says 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 59 seconds, 58 seconds, 56. And that hero has less than 5 minutes to clip the right wire. Now, if he clips the right wire, everybody's fine. If he clips the wrong wire, there are going to be some funerals. And it all comes down to rightly dividing which wire is the right one and which one's the wrong one. Of course, you know, they always get the right one, you know, and then everybody's alive and everybody's happy. But it's a matter of life and death. Rightly dividing the word of God is a matter of whether you're going to heaven or not going to heaven. It's important. It's important. First, it's important because it makes a difference where we go to heaven or hell. It's also important whether we are approved of God. Notice there in the middle of that phrase, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We want God pleased with us, and we don't want God to be ashamed of what we've done. You know, I've got filing cabinets full of sermons. And every so often I'll pull out one that's 50 years old, and I'll read it, and I'll look at my notes, and I'll think, Well, I know that's in my notes, but I hope I sure didn't say that. I can't believe I thought about saying that, because that is not right. But if we're going to be approved of God as a pastor, you know, I have the awesome reality that the fact that everybody hearing me every Sunday is a responsibility that I'll stand before God and give an account of what I say and don't say. And I have the understanding that at any given time, somebody could be sitting in the pew and it's the last sermon they'll ever hear. And for you who are Sunday school teachers, it's that same awesome responsibility. For those of us that are parents and grandparents, it's that same awesome responsibility to rightly divide the Word of God so that God will be pleased with what we share from the pulpit, from the teacher stand, to the children and grandchildren on our knees, to our co-workers. Why do you believe what you believe? How important is it? Are you a workman that needs not to be ashamed? Why is it important? Flip over one chapter to chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. And I want to just read this whole chapter. But understand this, that in the last days will come perilous times. For men will be lover of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. And you know, I wish you'd have said silly men and women, but the point is, people can be led astray. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so that these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice how Paul, as he continues here to write Timothy, says in the last days there's going to be a lot of confusion. There's going to be a lot of false teachers, a lot of false doctrine, a lot of things that are going on that are not Christ-like. And people that are not knowledgeable will be led astray. Wednesday night in the Bible study, we talked about, you know, just as an illustration, the deal from years ago when Jim Jones led the group down in, was it Guyana, and they all drank the poison Kool-Aid, you know, and he was supposed to be a Christian religious leader. You know, there's all kinds of cults There's all kinds of false teaching. Are we listening? Are we studying? Do we know the difference? Sometimes it's very obvious. You read something, you hear something, you say, boy, that is a wrong doctrine. Sometimes it's not as obvious, but deep down inside, the Holy Spirit will say to you, something's wrong with this. I can't quite put my finger on it, but something is wrong with this. Jesus in Matthew 24 prophesied the very same thing as he talked about the last days. He said many false prophets will come in the last days, and if it were possible, to deceive even the very elect. Children and men and women of God be led astray because they were basically ignorant of the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Many are going to miss heaven. And they're going to stand before the Lord and they say, but Lord, my group taught me. And the Lord's going to say, I'm sorry. Your group was wrong. And it's going to be sad when they miss heaven. Because they have not discerned the Word of God. They've not rightly divided the Word of God. It's serious business. I don't know how many times over the years I hear somebody say, well, you know, the Bible says. And you're standing there thinking, how do I kindly say the Bible doesn't say that? Without hurting their feelings. Making them angry. Especially if they say, my grandma told me the Bible says. And if the Bible didn't say that, then you just said something ugly about their grandma. And then you're in big trouble. You know, study the Word of God. Paul says, study, study, study. And it's going to be sad, the number of people. You remember in Jesus said in the last days, many will come and say, Lord, we taught and we preached and we cast out devils and we did all these things in your name. And he says, I don't know you. I don't know you. It's not what we say. It's whether or not we're biblically correct. That's what matters. That's what really matters. Now, what steps you need to take? Go into the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts, chapter 17. I think this is one of the neat little things. Acts, chapter 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither were in the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of the honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. You see, Paul and Silas got into a problem in Thessalonica, and so they went to Berea. When they got there, they did what they usually did. They went to the synagogue and they started teaching and preaching about Jesus. Did you catch what it says? These people were more noble, more honorable. Why? They picked up the book and they only had half of what we have. And it says they studied it daily to see if what Paul and Silas were telling them was the truth. They just didn't sit down there and say, okay, our rabbi said, or they didn't sit there and say, well, and soak it all in and take it for the truth from Paul and Silas. It says they daily studied the Word of God to see whether what Paul and Silas was teaching them was the truth. They searched the scriptures to see if it was the truth. And because they searched the scriptures daily, they believed. Folks, it's so important that we study the Word of God. Now you say, preacher, I am not a preacher. I'm not a theologian. You're asking me to do something hard, something impossible. Nah. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Same thing with the Bible. Nobody expects you to know it all tomorrow. Pick out something that really interests you. Maybe it's spiritual gifts. Maybe it's how to be saved. Maybe it's prayer. And get a Bible, several translations, concordance. Look up all the verses that you can find about that and think about it and meditate on it. One of the best ways to learn is to listen to the preacher and find something you don't like. When I was down at Troy, on Monday, one guy came to me and he said, I didn't like what you preached yesterday and I knew you were wrong. So I spent all Sunday afternoon studying my Bible and I found out you're right. Well, that made me feel good that he agreed with my interpretation of the Bible. But it made me even happier that he just didn't go around and say, Ed's a liar. Ed don't know what he's talking about. He could have done that. I don't agree with what Ed said. No, he wouldn't study his Bible to see, because he didn't think I was right. And he went and got his Bible and he studied it till he found out he was wrong, I was right. And I bet he won't ever forget that lesson. He'll remember that forever because he studied it for himself. Find out what the Word of God says. You see, these Bereans studied for themselves to see the Word of God. And you know, over the years, it's amazing the things that I didn't think hardly were covered at all in the Bible. But I go back and I find out there's hundreds of verses on certain subjects, and I thought that maybe there were 8 or 10. Just a little bit at a time. Just a little bit at a time, and the Word of God becomes real to us. Look over in John 16. John 16. Let's read verses 13 and 14. John 16, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall speak it, show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and will show it unto you. What do we say? So-and-so is an equal opportunity employer. God's an equal opportunity teacher. The same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. And he came to live in you when you were saved. And that same Holy Spirit that can teach me can teach you. It doesn't have, you know, the more our abilities to read, naturally that helps. But folks, the Holy Spirit can teach you a whole lot, whether you can read or not. Now, Leonard and I know, I preached for a guy named Benny Carpenter when I first started preaching. His wife got up and read the scripture because he couldn't read. And then he'd get up and preach. Is that right? Now here was a man that couldn't read, but he could preach. Because the Holy Spirit used those words of God down inside. Folks, it's the same Holy Spirit. We all got the same Holy Spirit. And Jesus, as he was preparing to go back to heaven, said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will show you all truth. He will show you everything you need to know. He will take from heaven and impart it to you. That's fantastic. To know that God can come to you. And as you study the Word of God, as you read books, as you listen to messages, the Lord can impart real, godly, biblical wisdom downloaded into you, and you become a wise follower of Christ. What did the psalmist say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. God's word. God's word. Let's look at one more scripture. Over in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. That's one of those way back over the beginning of the Old Testament. Verse 8 of Joshua, chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Said Joshua, I'm going to make your way prosperous. You're going to have good success because you're going to meditate on the Word of God. And folks, he only had the first five books of the Bible to meditate on. You've got all 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books to meditate on. You've got 61 more books of the Bible to meditate on than Joshua did. And if he can have success and a prosperous way of life based on five books, what can we have based on 66? Awesome. Meditate on it. Think on it. Day and night. I have a preacher friend that's been in the process of retiring. And he said, and he's been asking me a lot of questions about being an interim. And I said, well, you know, the strange thing was that surprised me about being an interim is how many new sermons I had to write. I mean, I got filing cabinets full of sermons for 50-some years. I thought, okay, every week I pull out one and run through it a little bit. I'm good to go. Hadn't worked that way. Lord keeps giving me new things. I'll read a scripture. I'll hear a phrase. I'll read a phrase in one of my devotion books. And I get thinking about it. Next thing you know, pops in my head another scripture that ties in with it. And another experience. And something else. And before you know it, I'm thinking, that's what I need to preach Sunday. And when I talk about things popping in my head, I know it's not my brilliance. It's the Holy Spirit bringing to mind experiences in my past, scriptures from the Word of God, and things I've read. And he puts it all together. And that which he does for me, he will do for you. The Bible says God's no respecter of persons. If you meditate on the Word of God, you'll be surprised at what God will show you. You'll be surprised. If your walk with God is not important, you're not going to pay much attention to what I just said today. If your walk with God is really important to you, you become a student of the Word of God. Again, it's not that you become a PhD in religion between now and next Sunday. Just a little phrase here, a little scripture verse here, a little scripture verse there. Hey, you got the rest of your life. You've heard me laugh and say, it's amazing what I've learned since I knew it all. I can't believe how arrogant and egotistical I was a few years ago. And then I found out I didn't know nearly as much as I thought I did. Now that I've learned a few more things, I realize there's more I need to learn than I don't know. But thank goodness we can grow and we can grow and we can grow. And I hope I learn something new the day I die. And then I don't know how heaven's going to be, but I look forward to sitting around with Paul and Spurgeon and Calvin and Luther and all of those guys and just listen to them talk and keep learning for all of eternity. Paul says, Timothy, study. Rightly divide a word of God and God will be pleased with you. And I think that's what God would say to me and to you this morning. Study. Rightly divide the word of God. And the Heavenly Father will be pleased with you. This isn't a salvation message, but if you're here and you're not a Christian, we invite you to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If there are the decisions you need to make, you share with me or come to the altar, we invite you to come. As we stand for our benediction, invitation, would you come?